slain before the foundation of the world, so that nothing caught God by surprise. All that God did was to bring up the plan that has been in existence to fulfill his counsel in your life and in my life, and to bring us close to God. When you look at the story we have just read, this part of the story, a few things stand out. The Bible says that it was in the sixth month that the angel appeared to Mary. That's verse 26. If you look at the same verse, if you look at verse 36, where we read, the angel also told Mary that her cousin Elizabeth had also conceived in her old age, and it was the sixth month. So the sixth month being referred to there is actually 6 months from the time that Elizabeth became pregnant. And one of the things that came to mind is this. In God's plan for salvation, God did not forget to take into account everything that he has promised, because he is a covenant-keeping God. When you look at the story of the birth of Jesus, you will find out that apart from saving the world, he was able to take into consideration all the promises that he had made prior to that time. That every covenant he had made prior to that time, he was able to take it into account in releasing the Savior. And the other thing that I want you to know is that every promise of God that God has made concerning you that are yet to be manifested are also covered by what God did in sending his Son. That is why there is no single promise of God that can fail. In choosing whom or through whom the Savior was going to come, God went to two people in the same family. He chose Elizabeth to give birth to John the Baptist, and Mary to give birth to Jesus. One thing we can draw from that is that in every dispensation, and when you study God and the way he moves, in every dispensation, he has a way of choosing a family. He has a way of using people in families. Look at the time of Noah. How come it was Noah and his family that was saved? Look at the time of Abraham. Again, the blessings to the world through Abraham was going to come through him and his family that was going to follow. And of course, when the time of Jesus came, the blessing was going to be released or revealed through Mary and those in that lineage. And when you look at it again, it is because God had promised David that there will never fail him a man on the throne. So in his design of salvation for the world, he took into account every promise that he has made. The implication of that for you and I is that as we search the Word of God daily, and as the Spirit of God speaks to us, every promise that God will ever make and every promise that God will ever speak into your heart is covered by the revelation of Jesus. The other thing that I want you to be aware of is this. God will do whatever it takes to fulfill his counsel. Whatever is going to take God or cause God, God will do it to fulfill his counsel once he has made up his mind that he is going to bless you. You know something? I find out that as a man or as a human being, sometimes we say some things and we get to a later date in future. And the things we have said in the past get in our way in being able to do the things we want to do for that moment. But for God, it is not like that. Because he has everything already pre-planned. And nothing will catch him by surprise. One of the very interesting things you will see in the story of the birth of Jesus is that when man fell, let's open to Genesis chapter 3 and we'll read verse 15. When man fell, God came and spoke, and he opened his mind to the people concerned, and he said certain things were going to happen. In particular, he spoke to the woman. He said, and I will put, that's Genesis 3:15. He said, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That was what God said. It's very interesting how God was able to fulfill this part of the bargain and give victory to man and restore our dominion. Read this particular place very well. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Between thy seed and whose seed? Eh? And her seed. Did God say his seed? Did God talk about Adam's seed there? God was talking about the seed of Eve. He said, I will put an enmity between thy seed and her seed. And yet God, over these years, if you look at the generation between Adam and the coming of Jesus, in total, there were about 52 generations. And yet God did not forget his promise that the seed of Eve was going to bruise the head of Satan. And there was no one who could overcome Satan except Jesus. and Jesus had to, and God had to work out something to make sure that his counsel is fulfilled, that the seed of the woman is able to bruise the head of Satan and give us victory. That is why no one else will have sufficed. No one else will have been able to do what Jesus did. There are doctors in the house. From what we know in science, is the woman able to give birth to a male child without a man? It's impossible. It's what? It's impossible. From what we know right now. So in other words, the woman really has no seed for a male child. Yet God said by her seed. And in order for God to fulfill his counsel, he had to visit the woman, producing a seed through her that did not require the seed of a man to, in order to fulfill his counsel. Because there is no seed of a man that will be able on its own to overcome the enemy. That's why God himself had to come. And he overcame him. And has given you and I victory. That is why when we face the enemy, we do not face him in our own power or in our own abilities. We face him by the reason of the fulfilled promise of God. And we become victorious. The other thing that I want us to take note there is this. That it does not matter how long God's promise is, he will never forget. And they will never go unfulfilled. Like I told her, there were 52 generations between Adam and the coming of Jesus. Yet God remembered to fulfill every detail of that promise. That's why I took us to this. He did not just promise, but he had said some things before he, you know, before redemption became manifest. And he, in accounting for our redemption, he made sure that every bit of it is accounted for. Every promise he has made was accounted for in the process of fulfilling that redemption plan. What am I saying? That there may be 6 billion people on earth, and you look and you say, just me out of 6 billion. And I want to let you know this morning that the promise of God concerning you will be taken care of. The word of God concerning you will be taken care of. It is part of the reason why he came. It is part of the reason why he came. Who knew? Who knew that in his coming, that all the promises he had made along the line were going to be fulfilled that way? And so he will fulfill his promise concerning your life in the mighty name of Jesus. It does not matter how small. You may wonder and say, what a big God, what a mighty God we serve. And sometimes you wonder whether he concerns himself with the little things of our lives. He does concern himself with the little things of our lives. That is why there are two sides to Jesus. There is the humanity side of Jesus. And of course, there is the God side to Jesus, the deity of Jesus. That is why he's both God and Son of Man. That is why he is the perfect person to be our advocate. Because he has been through whatever you may be going through. He has endured whatever you may be enduring at this time. Can you see the two sides? That God came through a human being, a woman. So that there is the completeness of the ability of God to relate to you and I. There is the completeness. Before then, God was not able to relate to the children of God the way he will relate to you and I. You remember in those days, anytime God was going to show up, God asked Moses to call the children of Israel that he wanted to speak to them. What happened? When he came to the mountain and the mountain started to smoke and vibrate, the people could not stand. They simply said to Moses, they said, whatever he tells you, just tell us and we will do it. But glory be to God that you and I can be carriers of the Holy Spirit. That you and I can be an embodiment of the perfection of Jesus and the glory of God. A lot of things may happen between the time God promises us something, and usually a lot of things do happen, and the time they get fulfilled. Like I've told us before, sometimes when you know what you will go through to be able to get God's promise for your life, if you know what it's going to entail, you will rather not take that promise. Yet, no matter what we may go through, the promise will still come to pass if we stay the course. Praise the Lord. The other thing about the promise of God is this, that was fulfilled in Jesus. Is that when God chooses to favor you, God can favor you to the point of embarrassment. Did you hear that? That God can choose to favor you to the point of embarrassment. When Sarah conceived, how old was she? 90. I would imagine that Elizabeth was probably getting close to about that age as well. Can you imagine what it will look like to see a 90-year-old woman in the shopping center with a bulging belly? Is that not an embarrassment? Is that not an embarrassment? It's a big embarrassment. Can you imagine a virgin? Not just a virgin, not a free-floating virgin, but a virgin who was supposed to be betrothed to a man who already had somebody she wanted to marry. And suddenly, something started to sprout in her. Is that not embarrassing? That must be the embarrassment of that, the greatest embarrassment of that period, of that era, for the young woman Mary. Why are we saying this? When God chooses to favor you, he takes you to a place that will be beyond your comprehension. God is capable of doing great things in our lives that would defy logic. That is why you will see everyone that God has used, God stretches them beyond their abilities, beyond the realm of what is possible in their lives. It's part of the package. Paul said, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation. If God has called you, if God, as he wants to, chooses that you are going to be an instrument in his hand, the extent to which he wants to go with you can be embarrassing sometimes. But remember the saying of Paul that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. As long as you believe, that power of God that is able to work in the life of Elizabeth, that was able to work in the life of Mary and work in the life of Sarah, that same power is available today to stretch you beyond your limitation. Sometimes when we talk like this, some of us simply say, look, I'm contented with the way I am. I'm happy. I just come to church. I sing praise to God. I lift up my hands and when I worship him. I'm sure these people too were just happy going to the temple and worshiping God, praising him and lifting up their hands, until God chose to favor them. And one of the reasons I believe that God chose to favor them is this, is that God saw their willingness even before he came. Because what did Mary say? He said, be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. The promise of God will come upon your life today in the mighty name of Jesus. There's going to be a breakthrough as we enter into this coming year. But remember that I told us that God tends to deal with families. It is up to us to position ourselves in a way that God will find us as willing partners. God is looking for people who will say, look, be it unto me according to your word. And when you say, God, let it be unto me according to your word, you don't care what is on the other side. You don't care what it entails for you to get to the place where God wants to take you. All that you know is that God is saying that this is a possibility in your life. And I want to let you know that everything that God says is possible in his word is possible. Because the Bible says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. What is important is for you to catch that vision that what God has said in his word is possible in your life. As I've told us before, do you know many people had read Isaiah before Jesus came? That same place where he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Many people had read it before Jesus came. But when Jesus came and read that same portion, it took a life of its own. Because Jesus was the one reading it. If we are going to approach God in faith, when we read these words, they will take a life of their own. They will begin to rot, God will begin to rot wonders with the word that we read every day that seem to hold no meaning for us. The word that we read every day that seem to be like storybook. But when we read it with a different attitude towards God, that knowing that the one we serve is he with whom nothing shall be impossible, when we read it afresh with the eye of faith, God will make impossibility possible in our lives. I've told us that we are the one to chart the course for our families. And I would like to take us back to Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. He said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. In other words, as we champion the cause of God in our different homes, God is in the process of lifting up people God is in the process of raising people, mighty men and women from our families to do that which he wants to do in this dispensation. And I believe that is why we are hearing the word that we are hearing today. Just because Abraham was going to be faithful and God could say concerning him that I know of him, that he's going to guide his children, he's going to guide his house to follow me. Therefore, I'm going to bring to pass all my promises concerning him. And that same promise, I showed us that up to 52 generations, God did not forget. And he still fulfilled it. In other words, what you and I do today can affect the next 52 generations that will come from us. The work of salvation is a complete package. Because God is a God of integrity. Once he has spoken, he keeps his word. And that is why everyone that will walk with God, they have to be people of integrity. And as you walk with him, he will always fulfill his own part of the bargain. Let's look at Psalm 105, verse 14 and 15, as we close. Psalm 105, verse 14 and 15. He said, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. That is what God is saying concerning you today. It does not matter how long. It does not matter how many intervening years there are. The Bible says, for sure God will watch over you. He said, he rebuked kings. He rebukes highly placed people for your sake. He can change people from their position of authority because of you. God can move mountains because of you. If God can suspend the course of nature that no man is required to give birth to a male child in order to fulfill his promise because of you, he can do the lesser things of life because of you. The coming of Jesus is a complete package. It's a complete package to fulfill the counsel of God, the ones that he has ever made, the ones that he's making now, and the ones that he's going to make. In Psalm 34, verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The eyes of the Lord are upon you. As this year is drawing to an end, just know that the eyes of the Lord is upon you. And he says his ears are open to your cry. I want us as families to begin to pray to the end of this year. Just begin to pray and begin to decree things concerning this coming year and see what God will do in your lives. I want us to start this coming year in a different way, different from the way we have ever started with the Lord. Because my belief, and I know that God is going to do great things in our midst and in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. I had a dream about 2 days ago. In fact, it was very frightening. I had to wake up my wife and I told her, you know, some of the things that God showed me. But at the end of it, is that the glory of God will be made manifest. Basically, what God was saying in the dream is that a lot depends on him. How things will go depends on him and does not depend on any man. The Bible says his eyes are on the righteous. The eyes of the Lord is upon you. And you will break through this year in Jesus' name. You will live. You will not die in the mighty name of Jesus. Because the coming of Jesus is a total package. Can we just rise on our feet, please? Can we just begin to thank him for that which he has done? Begin to thank the Lord for that which he has done. Every promise is covered in the word of God. Every promise is covered in the coming of Jesus. Every promise is covered. It's not just your salvation, the salvation of your soul. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is covered in that word. It's covered in his coming today. Begin to thank him for that which he has done. Just sending his only son. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. For sending his only son, begin to thank him. No, not that thing which God has said concerning you, that God is going to fulfill it, because it's also covered in his promise. It's also covered in the coming of Jesus. Because it's covered in his promise, it's covered in Jesus showing up. In the mighty name of Jesus, begin to thank him. Begin to thank the Lord. Begin to thank him. Begin to thank the Lord. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. He is a faithful God. He will do whatever it takes. He will do whatever it takes to bring his glory into evidence in your life. He will do whatever it takes to show that his hand is upon your life. In Jesus' mighty name, we give thanks. If you are in the house, maybe there is something that is niggling in your life. You don't want to carry it to next year. Remember, today is the third Sunday of the month. It's our last healing service for this year. If you are in the house, you want us to pray with you. Can you just come out and let's pray with you? I want to tell you that God is faithful. He will never let his word fall to the ground without fulfilling the reason he's sending forth his word. So if you are in the house, you are like that, let's pray with you. Can you just come out now? And let me just quickly pray so we can close. There is something niggling in your life. You don't want it to go with you to next year. Elizabeth was a woman called barren until God showed up in her life. And this, her story changed. Okay. Now, I want us to pray. Just say, Lord, lead me into the coming year. Just ask God to lead you into the coming year. The God with whom nothing shall be impossible. Ask him to lead you into this coming year. You are not going to enter into this coming year of your own accord, of your own ability. You are not going to enter into that year of your own devices. You are not going to enter into that year of your own calculation. You are not going to enter into that year based on purely on your own expectation. No, you are going to enter into that year because of that, those things that are possible in God, in Jesus, in whom there is the completeness of everything that is in this universe. Oh, yes, ask him to usher you into this coming year. In other words, he will see you through the remaining part of this year. He will lead you through to next year. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you. Because we know that with you, nothing shall be impossible. And you will do whatever it takes for you to fulfill your word in every life here. We know you are capable of doing that. And there is no promise you make that you have not made a provision for. Lord, as we lean upon you to enter into this coming year, by reason of the complete package that you have revealed to us today, my Lord and my God. I pray that things will begin to fall onto us in pleasant places in the mighty name of Jesus. When there's dryness in the land, it will rain on our plots in Jesus' name. I say when there's dryness in the land, rainfall will be in our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. None of the lives here will be lost before next year. You will fulfill our days according to your words and according to your promise in the mighty name of Jesus. You who was able to send your only son and cause the son of the woman to bruise the head of the serpent. And you give us, by that which you have done, the ability to live in victory. Therefore, Lord Jesus, we begin to live in victory from today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' wonderful mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. Can we share the grace in fellowship? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, rest and abide with us now forevermore. Amen.